This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
RingCentral will completely transform the way you work. It gives you built-in AI across all your business conversations. Your phone system has an AI receptionist that answers calls 24/7. Your video meetings have AI that takes notes instantly. Even your contact center has AI, so you can help customers faster. It all comes together in one reliable platform for effortless AI communications. See for yourself at ringcentral.com. RingCentral, voice of your business.
8 Jaguars, 4 weeks. Yamava Resort and Casino at San Manuel is giving away 2 Jaguars every Thursday starting January 8th. Club Serrano members, play to earn entries for your chance to win a new luxury crossover SUV. Join for free today and don't miss your chance to drive off in a Jaguar. More cars, more chances to win. Only at Yamava Resort and Casino, celebrating its 40th anniversary. You in? Details at yamava.com. Must be 21 to enter. Please gamble responsibly.
Sports Radio 610 presents In the Loop with John Lopez and Reggie Atitula.
PC and B. Scott in for Reg and John in the Loop. Sports Radio 610. Happy New Year, everybody. As we welcome in producer change, Mitchell Millimacki tags out and tagging in Colin the Game Neal.
I like that.
You didn't hit the sounder.
No, this is new, man. I've never come in the middle of a show before.
If I give you the intro,
yes,
you hit the music.
Can I do my best impression?
No,
it's
just
time
hit
to play the game.
Music. Why is this so? Come on, let's not start the new year off poorly here, okay? When I give you the intro, you're going to hit the sound. So we're going to give you a mulligan on this.
And no excuse making this
time.
We're
going to try this again.
What was that? I've never entered a show in the middle. Who gives a damn, man?
Okay.
You're a Sam Houston State Bearcat. We adjust, buddy.
Now tagging in, producing, Colin, the Game Neal.
Time to play the game. Time to play the game.
So much better.
More like
so it. Much better. All right.
It's
now,
like it, Colin.
Let's get to business.
Good job, man.
Because it's time to talk Houston Rockets basketball. And to do that, we bring in friend of the program, covers the Rockets for Sports Illustrated. He hosts the Rocket Fuel podcast. You see him every week with my guy, Nate Griffin, on Fox 26. He is LeShard Binkley. LeShard, Happy New Year, brother. How are you?
Happy New Year. I'm doing good. It's 2026 finally. Nice day. Rockets should get a win today, so nothing to complain about.
Nice day. We're not dead. We see another year.
Exactly.
let's talk about these Houston Rockets here. As coming into the season, obviously a lot of excitement, a lot of expectations. Right now, Rockets are fourth in the West, 20-10, 30 games in, so roughly a third of the way, a little more than a third of the way, maybe 35% of the way through the season. What have been your biggest takeaways of these first 30 games for the Houston Rockets?
I would say, well, first and foremost, I mean, Kevin Durant's pretty good. He's not a bad player, so I guess we can start with that. But I would say overall, they kind of where I thought they would be. I mean, it's still a lot of moving parts. Players been in and out of line. They just finally got back at least the team that they thought they would have when the season started. Of course, they expected Fred VanVleet to be there as well. But at least when the season started, you know, they got Dorian Finney-Smith back. Tari East, even though he's questionable tonight with an illness, he's back. So they got pretty much the lineup that they were expecting when the season started. But so they're where they where I thought they would be. Now, I will say I didn't think they would be just good on the offensive end, even with the slight dip in December. They're still a top three, offensive team in the league, and definitely the three-point shooting has stood out. Probably the biggest surprise of all, they're the second-best three-point shooting team in the NBA right now. Even though it's low volume, I don't think anybody saw that coming. So at 20-10, you're still a top 10 defense. You're still a top three offense. I think the Rockets like exactly where they are right now. You know, the main thing coming up now is the schedule is really going to start to catch up with them because they still played the less game of anybody in the season. So that's going to be kind of thing to keep an eye on, because a lot of teams are dealing with injuries now. You know, the Rockets haven't had any injuries to any of their main players, at least any major injuries. So that's something to look, for January and February, how they'll be able to handle that. Will they make any moves? So they're pretty much exactly where I thought they would be right now. They're still in a really good position. So I think overall, Rockets fans should be happy, even though, like I said, they had that little slight dip in December.
LeSjar, two players that they just got back recently. You mentioned Tari Eason. Dorian Finney-Smith made his season debut not too long ago. Tari Eason in the starting lineup, Dorian Finney-Smith getting his legs under him. What have you seen just in these last couple of games since they've been around has been the impact? I know Dorian Finney-Smith is going to take a while to kind of get up to speed, but Tari Eason in the starting lineup, the impact that these guys have, I've been saying that having one of those guys on the floor with Amen Thompson just creates a whole nother dimension for you defensively. What have you seen as far as their impact on the team?
Yeah, I mean, definitely defensively. I mean, I know Josh Okogie is a really good defensive player, but Tari Eason just brings a whole nother dynamic. He's just a disruptor when he's out on the court, causes all kind of havoc on the defensive end. And not only that, something people keep forgetting about Tari Eason, he's one of the best three-point shooters in the entire NBA. Josh started off great. He's been a great pickup, but he's not a guy you want to play 30 minutes a game. Tari Eason is getting to the point now where he's building up, and EMA even said the other day that he's getting to a point where he's going to be able to play 25, 30 minutes a game. So now you have somebody as good on the defensive end as Tari. You also have that he's one of the best three-point shooters in the league, and you saw a big difference in the way the Rockets operate, especially at the beginning of games. And like you said, with Dorian Finney-Smith, it's just going to be a work in progress. He's still going to be around that 15-minute cap mark here for a while as he builds his, basketball stamina back up to where he can be able to play more minutes. But he just gives you another wing player that can defend multiple positions. You know, we all know MA loves his wing defenders. So once he gets back up to speed, the Rockets, right now they're ranked like eighth in defensive rating. I wouldn't be surprised by the end of the year if everybody stays healthy. They're right back in that top two or three spot. And like I said, Dorian Finney-Smith just adds another layer to the Rockets team, and if he can just shoot around 35 to 38%, that's another shooter you can add as well.
Talking with LeSjar Binkley, covers the Rockets for Sports Illustrated, host of the Rocket Fuel podcast, with us on the guest line. LeSjar, you were talking a little bit about Tari Eason there, and boy, the Rockets look really good when he's in the starting lineup.
Yes.
Is Tari Eason ever not day to day? Like, is there like can they get him some robotic parts, or like give him the antibodies or whatever it is, so this guy stops being out of the lineup?
Yeah, I mean, that's the biggest thing. It's not his play. I mean, MA loves him when he is actually able to play. It's just him dealing with injuries. You know, some players, they just seem like they always have these nagging injuries. But at least this time around, at least for today, it's more of an illness than an injury. So you hope that's all that's going to be going forward. But that's the biggest thing with Tari. And I think that's something that the Rockets still kind of, any team has to look at, especially when they're talking about giving a big contract, is how available will you be going forward? So that's the biggest thing for Tari. If he can make it through the rest of the season without any major injuries, I mean, everybody deals with some type of injury in the NBA. But if he can get through the rest of the season without any major injuries, then I think the Rockets would be more willing to work on a bigger deal for him coming up this offseason. But like you said, yeah, that's the biggest thing. It's kind of a day-to-day, a week-to-week thing always with Tari. So hopefully, he won't be out, too long if it is just an illness this time around.
LeSjar, I want to go back to something else that you mentioned earlier about the three-point shooting. One of the better three-point shooting teams in the league, but as you mentioned, on some of the lowest volume in the league. You tell me, check me if I'm wrong here. Tell me if I'm crazy. Am I crazy to not want them to shoot more threes, or should I just be not get greedy and be happy with what they got? Because one of my things that I want to see them do, because they do it so well and because they do have the floor spacers and the shooting now, is to see them shoot more threes. Am I crazy or not?
I mean, of course, you would like them to shoot more threes, and they will have to diversify their offense in the playoffs because, as we all know, teams are going to take away what you do really well. The Rockets, of course, rebound really well. They score in the paint really well. And teams are going to take that away from them and force them to make outside shots. We saw in like those games that they lost to the Pelicans and the Kings. What they started to do was they started to play zone. They started to, you know, pack the paint and make the Rockets make outside shots. And when you're doubling Şengün, you're doubling Durant, you're going to have people make those outside shots. And if they don't, that's when the Rockets run into trouble. Because even though they are second in three-point percentage, like you said, they don't shoot a lot of threes. So I think they can get away with it during the regular season. But as you start getting those bigger games and teams that can, you know, defend well, like Oklahoma City, like Denver, even like San Antonio, you're going to have to, you know, diversify your game. You're going to make those open shots. That's what it comes down to with the Rockets. And that's why having Tari Eason in the lineup is so important. That's why Reed Shepard, who's one of the best three-point shooters in the league, I think he gets more minutes, even more than he's getting right now, especially in the playoffs, because eventually, like you said, they are going to have to take more threes, because today's NBA, I mean, it's fine, you know, be able to a great offense rebound a team, but taking 20, 25 threes a game, that can probably catch up to you in those bigger, tougher games.
LeSean, let's talk about what has been the most discussed position for the Rockets this year, and that has been the point guard position. And it started with the injury to Fred VanVleet right before the season started. And, you know, some decision, okay, you've got a team that really is built to win right now, but you don't have a true point guard. Amen Thompson playing some point guard. Reed Shepard, who came into this year without a lot of experience at the NBA level, asked him to play some point guard. You got Aaron Holiday coming off the bench, who maybe is a little bit more of a look-to-shoot-first type point guard. Trae Young now on the market in Atlanta, where, you know, guy who is all offense and plays as much defense as you and I, a guy that, you know, there are some rumblings about whether Atlanta feels they're a better team with him or without him. Where would you rate the Rockets' actual interest in a player like Trae Young on the trade
market? LeSean, before you answer that, I just want you to picture Trae Young and Ime Udoka coexisting for a moment, and just take a moment to do that and laugh a little bit, and then answer PC's question,
Force choke.
I mean, that would be hilarious.
So you already kind of beat me to it. Now, as we all know, Ime likes a certain type of player. And of course, Ime is not the general manager. I'm not saying that he makes the final decisions. But I will also say that Rafael Stone is going to go talk to Ime before he makes any major decisions. Because Ime likes a certain type of player. As great as Trae Young is on the offensive end, we've also seen that Atlanta actually has a better record with him. Not to say that they're better without him, but they have a better record without Trae Young on the court this season. The biggest problem with Trae Young, yes, like you mentioned, he does not play any defense. And you cannot get on the court if you don't play defense for Ime Udoka. You're not going to get on the court. We saw that with Reed Shepard last year. He still got some work to do, but he's gotten better. You're not going to get minutes. We saw that in Alperen Şengün's first season playing under Ime. He didn't even play in the fourth quarters, as great as he is on the offensive end, because Ime didn't feel like he was playing good enough defense. So if you're not having to give up a lot to get a Trae Young, that's one thing. But the Rockets, at the very least, will have to give up some draft picks. You have to give up some of your other maybe rotational players to bring in a Trae Young. And I just don't see him fitting with the Rockets team. And also on top of that, like I said, the Rockets kind of have a plan going forward on what they want to do with the roster. They want to have some type of flexibility. And if you bring in Trae Young, that's going to get rid of all that flexibility. And also one more thing on that, you probably have to send out Fred VanVleet to make any of these contracts work. And Fred VanVleet doesn't have necessarily a no trade clause, but he has a player option. And he can pretty much veto anywhere he goes. So that's kind of a non-starter as well. So just a lot of things that's working against that. I think the Rockets will much rather make a smaller move to bring in maybe a guard that maybe not a lot of people have heard about, or maybe not a big name. They would rather do that than bring in like a Trae Young or even like a Ja Morant or somebody like that. They have to fit what Ime wants on the court.
Okay, that leads me to the next part of this, which is if they go to bring in a guy you mentioned, whether it's something with a contract, the type of a Trae Young or a Ja Morant or anybody like that who has a big deal, and Fred VanVleet basically has an implied no trade clause.
Yes.
How do they make the dollars match up? Like, this is why, like with you, I'm with you on the, hey, you know, can you go get a Dennis Schroeder type of player? Mm-hmm. But if you go make a big splash type of move, how do you do it? Because they're capped at the first apron.
That's the problem. Then you're talking about players like Jabari Smith, who just got a new contract, who's now eligible to be traded. And you're talking about probably several players like a Clint Capella, like a Jayshon Tate, like all those guys you just signed in this offseason. That's the type of players you would have to, multiple players you would have to send out, because more than likely you're not going to be able to send out Fred VanVleet. And on top of that, they love Fred VanVleet. Right. I just don't think they will want to trade VanVleet. Even if they did, like I said, want to trade him, he pretty much has most of the power when it comes to that, at least for one more season. So you would have to give up multiple players to make it work for any guy that's making $30, $40 million a year. And you would have to start with Jabari Smith. And that's probably one of the players right now. He's probably one of the most consistent players on the team. So that's why you're running a problem with these big contract type players. So you would have to look at someone like a Dennis Schroeder or those type of player, or like even like a TJ McConnell, or just somebody that's not making close to max money. I just don't see how that would work without giving up like core players on your team.
And it should be noted, like, let's not overlook the fact that they are really good despite not having a point guard or a traditional point guard in the traditional sense. They are pretty damn good offensively. So it's not like they are desperate for a move like this. Before we let you go, LeSean, I do want to get from you, since you mentioned Jabari Smith Jr., we've talked about Reed Sheppard. Just as quickly as you can, your thoughts, analysis on how these guys have developed and, you know, adjusted to their new roles, the new look of the team with Kevin Durant on the team, Jabari Smith Jr. and Reed Sheppard specifically, what they've done this season so far.
And those two players are the players that have benefited the most from Kevin Durant. It's the Durant effect. Jabari Smith's having a career year offensively. He's career year from three-point range. He's having a career year as far as points per game. He doesn't get plays ran for him, so playing off of Kevin Durant fits him perfectly. Of course, Reed Sheppard, part of it is just going into his second year, being a rookie, coming in the NBA is always tough for most players. But now he's coming into the game off the bench and sometimes playing next to Kevin Durant. Anytime you play next to Durant, you're going to have open shots. And he's also taking 28, 30-foot shots that's opening up the offense. So those two guys have benefited from the gravity that Kevin Durant brings every game. And also Alperen Şengün, because, of course, we see Şengün gets double-teamed all the time. So those two guys really fit perfectly next to Durant, because you need somebody that can spread the floor, because as we see, they run double-teams at Durant, run double-teams at Şengün. So you need guys that can spread the floor like those two players. And especially with Jabari Smith, he can shoot over anybody in the NBA. And I think he's finally starting to realize that he is 6'10", 6'11", maybe even 7 feet, and he can shoot over anybody just like a Durant. And him working close with Durant has probably been the best part of bringing over, you know, somebody like Kevin over to the team.
He is LeSean Binkley. He covers the Houston Rockets for Sports Illustrated. Also, the host of the Rocket Fuel podcast. You see him every week on Fox 26 Houston in the morning with my man Nate Griffin. LeSean, you follow him on X, formerly known as Twitter, at Binkley Hoops. LeSean, appreciate your time, brother. Happy New Year to you. We'll catch up again soon.
Keep up the great work, man.
Absolutely, fellas. It's always good talking with you. And definitely anytime you need me on, I'll be there.
Hi, LeSean Binkley joining us on the guest line, talking some Rocket Hoops with us. Coming up next, we will get more into the Astros and the signing of Tatsuya Ime. We got some calls on the board about Ime as well. We'll get to all of that next.
Why does every recipe I try need 18 ingredients, including a jar of something paste I'll never use again, but will sit in my fridge for 9 months? I just want dinner in the oven, fast. That's why I love Blue Apron's new one-pan assemble and bake meals. They send you fresh ingredients that are already chopped. All you do is put it all together and bake. That's it. No chopping, no weird leftovers, just delicious, easy-to-make meals. Get 20% off your first two orders with code APRON20. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
RingCentral will completely transform the way you work. It gives you built-in AI across all your business conversations. Your phone system has an AI receptionist that answers calls 24/7. Your video meetings have AI that takes notes instantly. Even your contact center has AI, so you can help customers faster. It all comes together in one reliable platform for effortless AI communications. See for yourself at ringcentral.com. RingCentral, voice of your business.
8 Jaguars, 4 weeks. Yamavah Resort and Casino at San Manuel is giving away 2 Jaguars every Thursday starting January 8th. Club Serrano members, play to earn entries for your chance to win a new luxury crossover SUV. Join for free today and don't miss your chance to drive off in a Jaguar. More cars, more chances to win. Only at Yamavah Resort and Casino, celebrating its 40th anniversary. You in? Details at yamavah.com. Must be 21 to enter. Please gamble responsibly.
Live from the Mokarem Injury Lawyers Studios, Sports Radio 610 presents In the Loop with John Lopez and Reggie Atitula.
He's Brandon Scott. I'm Patrick Creighton. We're in for John Reg in the Loop. And earlier you heard us with the breaking news about 11 o'clock this morning. The Houston Astros got themselves the best available starting pitcher on the free agent market, not named Framber Valdez. Tatsuya Imai, the Japanese star pitcher, is now a Houston Astro, a 3-year deal with opt-outs after each year, potential value of $63 million, breaks down about $21 million AAV. That includes, we had seen earlier, $18 million base salary and performance incentives at 80, 90, and 100 innings pitch to bump him up to as much as $21 million per year. This is a guy who throws a 95-mile-an-hour fastball, which was number one in Japan, and that's average fastball, not max velocity. That's his average fastball. Number one in strikeout rate, almost 28%. Tied for third in chase rate, over 30, almost 32.5%. Number one in whiff rate, 32%. This guy has stuff. And while he's obviously never had to throw 200 innings, in the last, let's say since 2021, he has thrown 163, 158, 173, and 163. And that's obviously over fewer starts. 26 starts, 25 starts, 24 starts. Guy who posted a 192 ERA and an 089 whip. I mean, those are serious, serious freaking numbers. This guy, and now coming to the Astros pitching machine, where we can only assume things are going to get better because that's kind of what happens here.
Yeah, it would be odd if they didn't, right? It would be odd. It would make you wonder more so, hey, what's wrong with Buddy? What's wrong with old dude? To where the Astros pitching pixie dust that they sprinkle on pitchers doesn't work on him. I'm just going to assume, and you can call it hopium if you want, but I'm just going to assume that he's going to be even better now that he has the Astros' influence in his life.
Yeah, they get these guys in the lab over at Daikin Park, and all of a sudden they're stronger, they're faster, they throw harder, they throw with more pinpoint command. It's just what happens in the Astro lab.
One thing about the Astros that is just unassailable, their ability to work with pitchers. It is tried and true. So I'm encouraged by this and very much looking forward to watching him in an Astros uniform.
All right, let's go out to the phone, 713-572-4610, and get to Scott in Clear Lake. What's up, Scott?
Hey, Pat. Was I the one that broke that one to you?
You were the second person to send me the, although you were the one to break the dollars. So on the phone with us right now is actually our analytics expert at the Crawfish Boxes. This is Scott Barzilla. Scott has published 4 books on baseball.
Yes.
4 books on baseball, has actually created a new stat in baseball called bases per out, which is a tremendous stat. Something that, as I've learned what it is and how to use it, way better than war. Way better than war. Much more fun, too, and can be used for both hitters and pitchers. So Scott dives into the numbers with us on the Crawfish Boxes. You see his series called In the Lab at the Crawfish Boxes. You always want to read those. Every time you do, you're going to be smarter. Scott, yeah, so let's talk about Tatsuya Imai and the Astros' new pitcher here.
So, you know, the first thing I want to do is I caution people that usually with these Japanese imports, they don't come in, they're not 200-inning pitchers, particularly to start off with. These are guys, you know, they usually are maybe pitching one day a week. So the Astros probably will be employing a 6-man rotation, I would think, with him in the fold. So if you're expecting Framber Valdez, that's not who you're getting. But, you know, when you add in a Mike Burrows, you add in a Ryan Weiss and, you know, Christian Javier coming back, you know, you might be better overall than you were last year.
No, 100% agree on that with the 6-man rotation, something we touched on earlier. They're probably going to pitch once a week. And look, we've seen when they go to the 6-man, for the most part, all their guys pitch better. And they have now, with the addition of Imai and the addition of Ryan Weiss and Burrows, they've now got starting pitching depth, which coming into the offseason they had none of because they had burned through all of it 6 times last year. Now you have not only the kind of depth where you can have a 6-man rotation, have 1 or 2 swing guys in the bullpen, and still have guys at the minor league level. So this is 100%. I think that's it's a 6-man rotation. And yeah, because in Japan, these guys, they only pitch once a week. So you want your guy to be able to pitch at his optimum capacity. So I think that is spot on with you.
I think it does, you know, it creates some questions. You mentioned, you know, that they have quite a bit of depth. So it's going to be a question of what they're going to do with that depth. And the other thing is Dana Brown has mentioned that he's still looking for a backup catcher. He mentioned the bullpen, although this might ease the bullpen because, you know, I had penciled in AJ Blubaugh in the rotation before this move. You know, he might become your 7th inning guy, you know, after this is all said and done. And that's, you know, that's definitely a boon if he pitches like he did at the end of last season, you know, there at the end of the bullpen. But, you know, this pretty much bumps you up against the tax. So it's going to be interesting to see where they get those available funds, you know, to get that backup catcher, if that's what they're still looking for.
Oh, listen, you know me. I am all about bleep that tax.
Yeah, Scott, tell us a little bit about his stuff and what Astros fans can expect to watch when they watch Imai and how it might also impact their overall defense.
Well, I mean, I think Patrick mentioned the stuff. I mean, when you throw, the average major league fastball is 93. So anytime you come in above that, I mean, that's, and obviously we would need to see how the fastball looks because, you know, guys like Christian Javier, for instance, have that fastball that seems to be harder to get a handle on, even if the velocity's necessarily not up there. So it's going to be interesting to see how the fastball looks, you know, for the big league hitters. The one thing I would point out for you guys is, you know, Steamer projected him at a 4.29 ERA this year. But that's before he gets into the Astros lab. I mean, they didn't, you know, project where he was going to land. So, you know, we're not going to get a 2 ERA kind of pitcher. I don't think that's realistic. However, you know, could you get a guy in the mid threes? And if he's in the mid threes, I mean, that's a solid number two starter that you were really looking for, you know, when Framber Valdez was going out of town.
Yeah, we're talking with Scott Barzilla. He is our analytics expert at the Crawfish Boxes. And Scott, like, kind of like what you're talking about, if you guys got a mid, you know, mid three ERA with his whiff rate and chase rate, this guy has an absolutely filthy splitter that is, I mean, borderline illegal. This thing is so nasty. This guy has stuff. Like, you're talking about this fastball. This guy has legit major league stuff. And we have seen that the Astros, when they get guys with this kind of stuff and they get them in their lab, as you say, it's the they turn these guys into like star pitchers. So while I agree with you that I don't want to get into, you know, the whole magical thinking part of, hey, he's going to come here, he's going to have a 190 ERA, he's going to win a Cy Young. But if you say, all right, this is a guy that, you know, maybe could have a 4.25 ERA, but with the Astros, it might be 3.25, 3.5, and he looks like a legit number two instead of a 3.4. I think that's spot on for what the Astros are looking for. I think he absolutely fills a need. And I think this is a phenomenal job by Dana Brown, and I'm going to say Jim Crane because I know that they didn't hand out a contract like this without Jim Crane being involved. But taking advantage of an opportunity in the market where there is a soft spot, you know, for players coming in from overseas, and you just saw it with Munetaka Murakami taking a short or discount type deal with the Chicago White Sox, that it was looking like this could happen again with Ime. And it was one of the things that was in the Crawfish Boil yesterday was, could the Astros be a stalking horse on Ime with the way his market is shaping out? And sure enough, today, Dana Brown capitalizes, swings the big hammer, and the Astros have now gone from a team that is had a questionable rotation to being a team with what looks like a pretty solid rotation.
Yeah, and I think the exciting thing is what you mentioned. When you looked at the market, you had guys like Ranger Suarez who are still out there and people like that, and you kind of know what you're getting from those guys. You know, you're getting, you know, maybe a 3.5, 4. You know, some people were penciling in Justin Verlander in the rotation, you know, as exciting, you know, as it would be in a PR sense. Neither of those guys have the ceiling that this guy has. And, you know, he might have a lower floor than they do because you never know how imports are going to look. The ceiling is what's exciting here.
Scott Barzilla, he is our analytics expert at the Crawfish Boxes, crawfishboxes.com. You check out his work. It's called In the Lab. Also has the latest on Tatsuya Ime, the Astros' new pitcher signed today. Ime joining the Astros today on a 3-year deal. With opt-outs to a value of potentially $63 million. Scott, appreciate your time, brother. Thank you for taking the time to call in, and we'll catch up with you soon, brother.
All right, thanks, guys.
All right, he's Scott Barzilla of the Crawfish Boxes with us here on the guest line with the latest on the Astros' new pitcher, Tatsuya Ime, considered to be, if not the best pitcher on the market, maybe the best pitcher on the market not named Framber Valdez. And he is now a member of the Houston Astros. We'll get more into it next. 713-572-4610. You want to get in on the discussion about the Astros and their new pitcher. He's Brandon Scott. I'm Patrick Creighton, in for John and Reg. In the Loop.
I'm done with subscriptions. Streaming, fitness, razors, vitamins. I've got subscriptions for everything in my life. They lock you in, and half the time, I can't figure out how to unsubscribe. That's why I'm so excited about the new Blue Apron. Now you can get delicious meals delivered with no subscription needed, including new pre-made options. Keep the flavor. Ditch the subscription. Get 20% off your first two orders with code APRON20. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
RingCentral will completely transform the way you work. It gives you built-in AI across all your business conversations. Your phone system has an AI receptionist that answers calls 24/7. Your video meetings have AI that takes notes instantly. Even your contact center has AI, so you can help customers faster. It all comes together in one reliable platform for effortless AI communications. See for yourself at ringcentral.com. RingCentral, voice of your business.
8 Jaguars, 4 weeks. Yamava Resort and Casino at San Manuel is giving away 2 Jaguars every Thursday starting January 8th. Club Serrano members, play to earn entries for your chance to win a new luxury crossover SUV. Join for free today and don't miss your chance to drive off in a Jaguar. More cars, more chances to win, only at Yamava Resort and Casino, celebrating its 40th anniversary. You in? Details at yamava.com. Must be 21 to enter. Please gamble responsibly.
Live from the Mokarem Injury Lawyers Studios, Sports Radio 610 presents In the Loop with John Lopez and Reggie Atitula.
PC and B Scott in for John and Reg in the Loop. Sports Radio 610. Kyle O'Neill on the other side of the glass at the master controls. And the Astros, making Astros fans all have a happy new year today, announcing the signing of Japanese star pitcher Tatsuya Ime to a 3-year deal worth up to $63 million. The deal does have an opt-out after each season. But now it gives the Astros a rotation that has gone from questionable to solid. And there's now depth on this team that did not previously exist. You know, coming into the offseason, I mean, you think about last year, they burned through 60% of their starting rotation in a month. They then burned through all their minor league depth. They then went out and picked guys up off the waiver wire and off the streets and burned through those guys like 3 times. To where at the end of the season, it was fair to wonder, okay, after Hunter Brown and Christian Javier, well, who's in this rotation?
Yeah.
As of right now, they've got guys who are capable of being in the starting rotation, or at least capable of being starters. I'm not going to include Hayden Wesneski or Brandon Walter or Ranel Blanco, because all of those guys are going to start the year on the IL and unknown if they will pitch at all this season. But
you know who is included? Lance McCullers.
You know,
I saw that too.
I was kind of not going to include him.
I kind of feel like you shouldn't, but you kind of have to.
Tell you, I think that it is a real possibility that when we get out of spring training, I think there is at least 20% possibility Lance McCullers retires.
Oh, you mean by spring training or by the end of spring training?
Before the season, like before day one of the regular season. So as we get towards the end of spring training, I do think it is feasible.
He's 32, PC.
His arm is hanging on by spit and duct tape, and we're all out of duct tape.
Yeah.
I mean, you saw last year, there's no more velocity. And at least his calling card was, you know what? He had that big, nasty curve. But then he could follow it up with a 95, 96 mile an hour heater. Well, his fastball is 90 miles an hour now. That's not a major league pitch.
And it's not one of them spinning 90 miles an hour, like quite like a Christian Javier. It's not like an invisible either, per se.
No, it's not a major league pitch. And you saw last year when he came back, what, the second time?
Yeah.
He was basically throwing curves, sliders, and change-ups. And the problem with all of those pitches are, number one, his command on all of them is spotty. And number two, none of those pitches are designed to get quick outs. Those are all swing-and-miss pitches, which means he's got to throw a lot of pitches to get through 3 innings.
Yeah.
So they're going to have to find out if Lance's arm is capable of withstanding the rigors of being a bullpen pitcher, because people think, oh, just put him in the bullpen. The guy has elbow and shoulder issues. You can't just throw him in the bullpen where you get up, you get down, you get up, get down, you start, you go 2 days in a row, you go 3 out of 4, you go 4 out of 6. Like, there is no guarantee his arm can handle that. No guarantee at all.
Yeah, and I would say even more so, like, the thing that I like to credit him for that I'm not sure is still possible. It even looked a little bit like it could be this way when he first came back last year. I've always credited Lance McCullers for the ability to reinvent himself as a pitcher. I feel like we've seen him do it no less than twice now in his career. But to your point about the arm being kind of hanging by spit and duct tape and we're all out of tape, like, it's, there's only but so many ways and so many times you can do that. And you have to at least have the tangible stuff to do so, right? And it seems like there's only but so many ways for him to reinvent himself without the arm to make it happen.
Look, he has the desire.
Yes.
He has the heart.
Oh, man, dude's got heart. That's why I can't quit him.
He has the want to. His body has just betrayed him to the point where I'm not a believer that he has the can do anymore. And look, when your arm falls off as many times as his has, and part of that is the Astros really did him a disservice multiple times. If you remember when he first came back from Tommy John surgery, and that next year, and then he's got the elbow pain that shuts him down again. They knew he had bone spurs back then. Instead of having surgery,
this is 2021 piece,
and removing it right away.
Yeah,
they we'll just rehab it. You can't rehab a bone spur. Like exercise does not make it go away. What it does is it makes it continue to rip his flexor tendon apart. And ultimately, that's what happened. And a flexor tendon takes even longer to recover from than Tommy John. And it doesn't have that that frequent benefit. Guys come back from Tommy John with a tight UCL, and now all of a sudden they throw 2-3 miles an hour harder. No, you blow up your flexor tendon, and now you're not throwing as hard. And that's been a big issue for Lance, is the velocity is gone. He doesn't have a fastball anymore. And that was the pitch that got him quick outs.
Yeah.
And so now it's, can he be a bullpen guy? Can he withstand that? Or is his career essentially over? And that's kind of what we're going to learn this offseason. And we talk about who could potentially be in the rotation to start the year. Well, Hunter Brown's going to be in the rotation. And Christian Javier is going to be in the rotation. And Tatsuya Ime is going to be in the rotation. That means there are essentially 3 spots available, because I do believe they will have a 6-man rotation for at least the majority of the season. You have Jason Alexander. You've got Spencer Arrighetti. You've got AJ Bluebaugh. You've got Mike Burrows. You have Nate Pearson. You have Ryan Weiss. And then to a lesser extent, you have guys that I do not believe are major league caliber pitchers in Colton Gordon and JP France.
Yeah. So I'm going in order. Mike Burrows, Spencer Arrighetti, AJ Bluebaugh. That would be how I would round it out. And that's if one of those guys, as we were talking about before, is not somebody that you use as trade bait of some sort to get something else in here. But if I'm going 6-man rotation and I'm going out of that list that you just went through, I'm going Mike Burrows, Spencer Arrighetti, AJ Bluebaugh. And AJ Bluebaugh, we had Scott on earlier, Scott Barzilla of Crawford Boxes, mentioning that maybe AJ Bluebaugh is their 7th inning guy. That's a possibility if and when they go to a 5-man rotation. It's probably why I put him back there at the back as 6. But that's how it would be for me.
So I think that Burrows is going to be in the rotation.
Yeah.
I also think that's another example of a guy they're going to get in the lab and he's going to go from, because he's got stuff.
Yeah.
But he's going to go from, you know, inconsistent results to a whole lot better results once they get him in the lab. I think Alexander is probably a swing guy out of the pen. I think he becomes like a long man, multi-inning reliever, spot starter. I think that France and Gordon are both in the minor leagues.
Yes.
And if they don't have options, adios muchacho.
Yeah. Those are the guys that are coming up once the, and knock on wood here, once the inevitable injury stuff starts to happen, then that's when you start seeing the Colton Gordons and the J.P. Frances of the world.
Gordon's just not good enough to be a major league pitcher. And J.P. France, who is the kind of story that everybody roots for.
Yeah.
He's come back from a torn shoulder capsule. And that is a devastating injury for any pitcher to try to come back from. And most pitchers, by most I mean like the overwhelming majority of pitchers who have that surgery, are nothing close to the same when they come back. And that is the surgery that ended the career of Johan Santana. Since coming back, JP doesn't look like he's a major league pitcher. And I hate that for him, because you're talking about a guy who didn't get a shot to the majors until he was 28 years old.
Yeah.
And then pitched the absolute best baseball of his life. And then came into camp the next year with a bum shoulder. But because Justin Verlander also had a bum shoulder, they told him, shut up, suck it up, and pitch. And he tore his shoulder capsule.
Yeah.
I think that McCullers is, as I said, I don't think he's a starting pitcher anymore. They got to find out if he can be a bullpen guy. And if not, it's retirement or waiver wire.
Yeah.
I think that Jaden Murray, if he's on the team, is in the bullpen as a long relief swing type guy. I think Nate Pearson is a guy that, if he's on the team, is that long reliever type role. I think that Ryan Weiss has a very good shot to make the rotation.
Yeah.
And right now, because of the amount of depth that they have, and we know they like these younger guys, I think Weiss, Burrows, and Bluebaugh could be the back three. I think Arrighetti's got a lot to prove.
Weiss, Burrows, and Bluebaugh. Okay.
I think
where would that leave Arrighetti, though? They're just on the trade block. That's not. I feel like he's maybe not as good as you want one of your starters to be, but also too good to just stick him in the minor leagues.
I do think it puts him on the trade block if he's not going to make the rotation.
Yeah.
If we're just going to be fair about who he is right now, he's a guy that in 35 starts in 180 innings has a 4.69 ERA and a 1.41 WHIP. The walks are a problem.
Yeah.
He walked four guys per nine in 24. He walked five guys per nine in 25. The difference was in 24, he was striking out 10.5 guys per nine and could get out of it. Last year, he struck out a little less than eight guys per nine and couldn't get out of it. The hit rate was down, but the homer rate was up. The walk rate was way up. And, Arrighetti, who's going to be 26, right? We're not talking about an old pitcher. But when you've got, when you brought in Burrows and you brought in Weiss, who's coming off not just the last year, but the last several years, he has been a tremendous pitcher. And his velocity is up and his command is so much better. I do think that Arrighetti is a guy, and look, I'm going to say I think Bluebaugh could be in this spot as well, of somebody that they could be looking to trade to go get an outfield bat.
Yeah.
And that's something we'll get into a little bit more here on the other side, because there's a lot to get into. The Ime signing completely changes the trajectory of the rotation, but it also has a lot of trickle-down effects into the amount of depth they have. They now have starting pitching as a strength, as depth to deal from at the major league level. That is something that is highly desired by damn near every team in Major League Baseball. You know they want another bat. They want a backup catcher. They might need to move some money around, as according to SpotTrack, if Ime hits his full 21 AAV with 100 innings pitched, they would be less than $7 million to the first tax line, of which they'd be a 50% taxpayer. So, lot to get to with the Astros. More of it coming up next. B. Scott, PC, In the Loop.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
RingCentral will completely transform the way you work. It gives you built-in AI across all your business conversations. Your phone system has an AI receptionist that answers calls 24/7. Your video meetings have AI that takes notes instantly. Even your contact center has AI, so you can help customers faster. It all comes together in one reliable platform for effortless AI communications. See for yourself at ringcentral.com. RingCentral, voice of your business.